In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
All right. Praise the Lord. You may be seated, Hallelujah. If you have a Bible, grab it and open it up. Well, my recorder don't record today. I guess I should have checked the battery for the new year here. Praise the Lord. First John, we're in this morning, the book of First John. Let me start with a quick advertisement. Journaling a Preacher's 2022 Pilgrimage to Israel is a book that I published, and I love this book. I said, of course, it brings back personal memories to us. We were there again, but one of the books I read kind of through while we're out there was, again, this one, as I'm writing a second one about our trip in March. And so both of those are available online at our webpage. Just put /Israel22 or Israel23 to get either one of those. And the one is not published in paperback yet, but it will be out as soon as I finish writing it, praise the Lord. So I got three chapters out while we was in Ohio, and appreciate it again. Just revisiting Israel, like Dave said in Sunday school, wow, it's sad understanding what's going on there right now after we were there in a time of peace. While we were there this time, we did see the Iron Dome missile. Remember the missile dome, missile site that we saw when we were down in the Negev, south of the Dead Sea there. And so, wow, what an interesting thing. So this is day, 90-something of the Israel war. And we want to pray for Israel, and we want to keep looking up again. So when you see these things happening, the Bible says on the talking about the olive tree, this generation shall not pass away. I remember Dr. Dahan preached that, and he saw Israel formed into a nation for the first time in hundreds of years. In 1948, he said, this generation's not going to pass away, a generation being 50 years, he said. And Dr. Dahan died before the Lord came, but I'm not going to do that. Praise the Lord. I had in 2023, 23 reasons why the Lord's going to return in 2023. And in 2024, my 24th reason is this, because he didn't come in 2023. And so I just tacked one more on there. But I believe the Lord's returning anytime, and appreciate that we could again be looking forward to that. Someone pointed out that we're not looking for the Lord's return. We are looking for the rapture of the church in actuality. The Lord is going to return, and when he returns, he's going to return as the judge of this earth. He's going to come for the salvation of Israel out of Revelation chapter 19. And so I try to clarify that again, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to meet us in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so as we consider these things, again, understand that I don't think it's going to be long as we watch what's going on in our world. I'm going to have the Iowa caucuses this week. Is that done yet or coming up anyway? So, I don't put my hope in an election in this state again. We've lost pretty much our liberty. We've lost again, I've lost all faith in the voting booth. I don't have any faith in the voting booth. I had precious little before. But again, to understand that, hey, things are happening in this world that's Satan controlled, and we need to understand that. And once we understand that, don't be dismayed again to understand that in 2024, things are probably going to wax worse. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. And again, that's talking about his return. And before that, so at least 7 years before that, there's going to be a rapture of the church, praise the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, we'll be gone from here. And we know that truth and we have that promise. But again, we need to be about the Father's business. Let me cover real quickly some things that I had outlined to preach on our first Sunday here. And we're all snowed in, and so I didn't preach them. And then our introduction to 1 John, I actually preached at Anchor Baptist, but I put it on our webpage for October or December 31st message. And so if you listen to that, you'll be well in place to do an introduction to 1 John. But let's go ahead and look at the Word of God and then cover some things we want to look at for opening a new year, praise the Lord, in our lives. And let's go ahead and do that. Starting with a reading in 1 John. Let's read the first whole first chapter of 1 John, and I'll be preaching out of that probably for the next couple weeks as we want to look at some things about fellowship. And here's a book that's all about it. So watch for that again as we would read its first chapter. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would. 1 John, the first epistle of John. And I said in my introduction 2 weeks ago that I think he wrote these. I think John, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, was commanded to write the things that thou hast seen. And so I think he came back from that Patmos experience and started writing. And I think he wrote this first verse that we're going to read. And then I think he went and got a bigger scroll and he wrote the whole Gospel of John. Because if you look at what's given in this first verse, and you think about what it says, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, what he wrote in the Gospel of John, and a tremendous outline. John outlines everything he writes with great precision. John was the last of the apostles to write. Here he's probably 90 years old. I picture him as a 90-year-old man, takes the pen as he was commanded, and starts writing. And here's what he wrote in his very first epistle, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Parentheses, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. If you think about what's in like the first chapter of the Gospel of John, this here's a nutshell of his prologue that he gave in that first chapter. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of Scripture. Thank you for this little epistle that, again, sets heavy on my heart. And I pray again, Father, that as we peel it back and look at the significance of each phrase, each word, each verse, that we'd see your precious Son, and that our fellowship in him would be sweet. And we'll praise you and thank you for your hand on your word even this morning. Though we're few in number, Father, we love you with all of our heart and praise you and thank you that we could worship together with other believers this morning. In the name of Christ we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Five things I like to tell a new convert that they ought to include in their lives. And I'm just going to include them for five things that you ought to do in 2024. Again, and so as we outline them, I like to count them off on my fingers. We get a memory association by fingers or by location, by memorizing sometimes. It's helpful to have that. And so five things, again, you got most of us have five fingers on a hand. And so let's go ahead and look at five things that you ought to include in your life. I said, again, I give this when a new convert gets saved. I tell them, okay, now that you're saved, you're a new creation in Christ. There's five things you must include. There's five things you absolutely need in your life if you're going to be a normal Christian. And let me explain that. A normal Christian is a Christian who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his mind, on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and certainly on Sunday again, the day that Christ rose from the tomb. An abnormal Christian is one who don't. And so normally, I've heard messages talk about, well, the normal Christian. Well, I don't want you to be that kind of a normal Christian. I want you to be a normal Bible Christian this year. And so these five things, again, ought to be somewhere in our lives and have emphasis and priority on our, did we make any resolutions? Anyone make any resolutions? If we did, we're not confessing them. What is this, like the 14th? This is the 14th already of January. Most of our resolutions, if you made any, mine are broke already. It's a... I'm going to swear off sugar until my arthritis stops flaring up. And yeah, that lasted for 3 days. I mean, where was I? Resolutions. Okay, so to re-resolve again for these five things, at least in our lives. Number one, I tell a new convert, if you got saved, if you genuinely are a new creature, number one, you should go tell somebody. You should tell somebody else what happened to you. And boy, it'd be good if this year we say, hey, I'm going to spend every week, again, finding somebody that I could tell what happened to me. Just rehearse your testimony. I brought sheets in the back and put them back there about how to write out your personal testimony. And boy, I encourage you to grab one of those and do that. First thing is to write several verses, starting with John 3:16 through 18 or 19, I think I put on there, and John 3:36. To be able to explain what happened to you, and then to be excited about it, to rehearse it, and then to be excited enough about it that you go share that with somebody else, and start a testimony with, let me share you something that happened to me in my life. And to be able, again, to share our testimony. Go tell somebody. I've seen, again, and I often ask when a person gets saved, so who are you going to go tell? Who are you going to go tell about this? Boy, I've heard a lot of answers. Sometimes I want to go tell my mom. My mom's been praying for me. I got to go tell my mom. I've got to go tell my friend that they're lost and they're going to hell, and I know they need to hear what happened to me. And so, again, run through your mind who are you going to tell this week, this year, again, about what happened to you when you got saved. Our testimony should be so rehearsed that everyone in our church could give your testimony. Praise the Lord. We don't have nearly as many testimony times as we used to because we keep getting smaller and smaller. And yeah, we've all heard it before, but we need to hear it again. Praise the Lord. And so have a testimony ready to word and tell someone else what happened to you when you got saved. Think about this. Paul did. Paul told his salvation testimony over and over and over again, and it's recorded in Scripture. And so, again, I encourage you to record your testimony, write it down, and then share it with somebody this year. Number two, if you got saved, when you got saved by asking God to save your soul. And by going to Him, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, there that we confess our sins and is faithful and just. That's the wrong verse, isn't it? That's this verse in our text here today. I can't even think of Romans 10, 9, and 10 here, but that's how we get saved again. Yeah.
And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, do you need the rest?
Yeah, that's good. Go ahead.
And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him.
And believe in thine heart.
Heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Praise.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
All right. Praise the Lord. That's it from Lynn. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we need to do that. And I always miss those first words. If I get to that if thou, I mean, that's a hard verse for me to start because I got a rusty old mind. But anyway, we got saved by asking God for something. And don't stop asking. Don't stop talking to God. Keep your prayer life. Listen to that wind howling. There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, sorry, that's another text. Keep a prayer heart that we talk to God. Daniel prayed three times a day in a formal prayer time. David said seven times a day, I pray. How many times a day do you pray? I pray three times a day. I pray over each of my meals, so I cover three times a day. And if I pray for a minute each day, that's 3 minutes a day I spend in prayer. How long is it going to take me to get a sweet hour of prayer done again at that rate? So I'm not talking about praying for your food, although you ought to do that. And when you're in a restaurant, do it out loud. I mean, you don't have to stand on the table and do it out loud, but do it out loud at least. But again, I notice that we ought to have a prayer time. There ought to be things that we pray for. Hold your place here in John and turn back to 1 Timothy, and let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I like this. I need this in my life, and it helps me when I read this. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First verse there says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, I circled that, all men, for all the sexist stuff going on in our society, there's only a couple times when men in your Bible is talking about males of the species, and this was not one of them. It's talking about all mankind here, that all men, all of mankind, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I prayed for Joe Biden this morning. I prayed that he would come to the knowledge of truth. There's a lot of other things I prayed for Joe Biden this morning. And let me just go ahead and say that there are some enemies of the cross of Christ. And there are some enemies to morality. And again, we ought to pray for them. And certainly pray that they'd get saved. But boy, we need to pray for some, that God would bring them into confusion. And we need to pray again that God would defeat evil And so pray for them here. God wouldn't have any man to be lost. And so, yeah, you ever sing the song, Jesus and Others in You? That is the way we spell joy. I don't remember all the words. But if you want happiness in your life, you should look for joy. Put Jesus first and then pray for, well, I've got this prayer thing, and then others, and then you, yourself last. And listen, I like to include that in my prayer life as well. How are you going to pray for Jesus first? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How about that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How about that? Boy, we ought to spend some time praying for Jesus to be exalted and lifted up. And I like to start my prayers that way. And so does the psalmist, and so did Daniel, and so did Nehemiah there when he prayed again to exalt God, and to Jesus when he said, okay, here's a good prayer. This is how you ought to be praying. This is a form we ought to have. That's not the Lord's prayer per se, but it is a model prayer. And it begins how? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so when we pray, we should pray for Jesus. We should not pray for others. And usually we get them to switch up pretty regularly too. Praying for I me, okay? So pray for others and intercede for others. I think of Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and they were going through horrible persecutions when he wrote. They had seen families taken out of their church, as near as we can tell from history, by the Romans, and killed because of their acceptance of Christ. And so they'd seen terrible persecution. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, pray for me, because I'm going through some hard times. And I thought, wow, that's kind of selfish of Paul, isn't it? No, it isn't. He was instructing them that, hey, you need to pray for others. Don't be hung up on yourself and what you're going through. Pray for others. And so the number two here is pray. We got saved by talking to God. We should keep on talking to him. Pray. I don't know if this year that you have a time of two things you ought to have. Two things I ought to have, I know, in my life is one is a scheduled prayer time. Daniel had it, and I like that. So I said, I need a scheduled prayer time. Remember Paul, and I forgot who he was with, it was Peter, going up to the temple in the time of prayer, it says. There ought to be a time of prayer in our lives. And so find a schedule, fit it into your life. I like 3 o'clock in the morning. That just works for me. God wakes me up every morning at 3 o'clock with a stabbing pain in my back anyway, so I said I got to get up and do some exercises to stop the pain. I might as well spend that time in prayer. So find a time. Now, I don't recommend that one again for you, but that works for me. But again, find a time where we have a scheduled prayer time with God. When I was out in Ohio, all our routine is broke up, and I could do whatever I wanted again. In my life, and so I started walking. I bought my prayer walk, worked over a 2-mile prayer walk. Boy, that's a good time to just get alone with God. There ought to be a family time when we pray together. We've seen the ignored plaque that says the family that prays together stays together. Don't let that be an ignored plaque in your house. But again, there ought to be a scheduled time. Secondly, there ought to be a place. It's good to have a prayer place, a place that, hey, this is where I pray. This is my closet, as it were, where I pray. So second thing, well, this is going to take forever here. I'm almost through time, and I haven't got to first John yet. Number three, you got saved by reading some Bible verses. And don't stop reading Bible verses. Keep reading, 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 reading. This was emphasized in a couple messages Shane preached out there. About the importance of just reading the Bible and keeping that regular in your life. Beverly and I can walk through our lives and figure out, see this time here, we can walk through a week and say, hey, we didn't have time to read our Bible on this day, and this day. And look at all the things that happened. Look at all the stress that occurred. And that happens on purpose again. I think that's God's providence to say, to kick us a little bit and discipline us into a daily Bible reading. And so I get a daily Bible reading, get a schedule. I didn't print the schedules out yet because I'm a little behind. But get a Bible. Last year's schedule works just fine. The dates are just up wrong again for Sundays. But again, get a scheduled Bible reading, read the Bible. That one I love. It is a chronological Bible reading, and that teaches me some things as I'm reading through as well. And the other one on there is for a private altar, and that's just got 3 chapters a day, period. You just go and read 3 chapters a day. It might be 3 chapters with 58 verses apiece. Tough, you got to read them anyway. It might be 3 chapters that's only got 12 verses apiece. So I just do that one and read 3 chapters a day. And we work through our Bible twice a year with those 2 schedules. But boy, have a reading time when you spend time reading God's Word. And not just on a schedule, but reading to meditate on God's Word. And so, number one, tell someone. Number two, talk to God. Number three, hear from God, read your Bible. Number four is be baptized. I don't know how I'm going to apply that right now to believers that have been saved for some time. But again, when you're baptized, there's no washing away of sin. There's no cleansing. There's nothing going on. What you're doing is you're telling God and everybody in a step of obedience, you're telling all the world that, hey, I've accepted Christ. Now, we hide our baptisms usually in the little church house. We put a little baptistry in so no one can see us baptized again. Well, shame, shame, shame. They didn't do it then. Then they, again, went down to Seneca Lake and baptized in the lake, praise the Lord. And I still like that. I got baptized in Ford's Pond. We had to wait until the ice was out in the spring, and the ice was just barely out in the spring when I got baptized. But again, we need to be baptized. And remember, that's a process of telling the world and everybody, I'm not ashamed of Christ, nor am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we need to tell new believers that that's an important step of obedience. I talked to a couple people and said, hey, I don't believe you grow right until you're baptized. Until you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, that's called the first step of obedience for a believer. And so maybe you know someone or are acquainted with those that need to be baptized. Emphasize that even in our testimonies. We need to be baptized and tell God and everybody that I've accepted His Son as my Savior and I'm graced to walk in newness of life. And then the number five, fifth thing here, and I on my count, it comes out of my little finger, but it shouldn't be. It's an important one, and that is fellowship with other believers. You need to be in a Bible-believing church. You need to have fellowship with others. You need, again, and don't. Don't go to the church where half the people aren't saved. That's called an apostate church, and they're playing the game or doing whatnot. But you need to be in a Bible believing church with people that got saved just like you got saved, and that helps our growth. For a long time in the beginning of my ministry, I picked up Dr. I forgot his name. His theme said that it takes 3 to thrive. I still believe that. It takes 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer time. And when I first got saved as a little kid, it took 5 to thrive again. We had Sunday morning. Well, you can count 2 there. Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church. Then we had Sunday night church we went to, and all the Rices went to Wednesday prayer service. All the Rices went to Thursday. I was just a little kid. We still went to Thursday visitation, and all the Rices went to Saturday visitation, and just telling others and being part again of a ministry of a church. Bible says that when in Revelation chapter 1, it talks about the candlesticks, and he that's walking in the midst of the candlesticks is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to the verses that's given to the individual churches, and again it says in one of them that he's the one that walks in the midst of the candlesticks. What are the candlesticks? Candlesticks are the churches. And listen, you can have a light, but your light don't need to just be held out on its own. You need to be installed in a candlestick. You need to be part of a local church. And again, the Bible teaches that. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the church. Well, I don't need to go to a church to worship. Well, I've heard that so many times. But Christ loved the church. And if you're going to love what Christ loves, you're going to be in church. If you're going to follow after the teachings of Christ, you're going to be in a Bible-believing church. Now, I know we're little here, and you probably got a sorry pastor that doesn't preach well. Boy, I heard some good preaching this past week. But listen, I know I don't preach well, but boy, I got a good book, praise the Lord. And so we need, again, to be in a place where we can grow, where we can fellowship with others, and the church's job is to edify one another. We gather here to worship, and this isn't just so, okay, feed me. It isn't just so, okay, let's see what I can get out of church. We're here to edify one another, to rub, as iron sharpens iron, that we rub on each other. People go through discouragements. People go through trials. And we need someone else here in this world to go through them with us. People go through joyous times and anniversaries and stuff like that. And it's good to just celebrate with someone who's got the same background, born again, saved background as we got. And so that's what Christ made the church for. And we need to be in attendance to church. I can't tell you how many people fell off to be Sunday morning churches. And boy, we're staged for that here because we dropped our Sunday night services. And so people become Sunday morning churches and die. And they aren't doing what they should be doing because they're Sunday morning church members. And boy, I've seen it all the time. It was good again to be in a church where the Sunday night attendance sometimes was bigger than their Sunday morning attendance. And the Wednesday prayer time was a Wednesday prayer time, and it was fully attended. Listen, praise the Lord, that's a functional church. We tune in, and let me go ahead and say this out loud, we tune in for our Sunday night services to Solid Rock Baptist Church or to Anchor Baptist Church or to both again. And because a Christian needs a Sunday night service. And if you're not getting to hear a Good Samaritan Baptist Church because it takes so far to drive here, then listen, you need some place where you do get it. Beverly and I, when we're not here, we go down to Lighthouse. If we can get over the mountain over there, go down to Lighthouse, down to 4 cents. If we can't get there, we can always listen to them online. But again, a three to thrive mentality. I don't want to list that just because we dropped our Sunday night services. We really need that. You need to be around other Christians. And you need to rub shoulders with those that are praising God, that are studying God's word together, that are wording prayer requests together, that are in fellowship one with another. This church here has a church covenant, and we are covenanted together to pray for one another. That church covenant has a whole bunch of things, but that's a predominant one, that we're uniting with this church. So as members, we're going to pray one for another. We're going to bear each other's burdens. And so attending church, it's important. And we're right now on the verge of dismissing that importance because of our drop Sunday night service. And I don't know how to fix that. But again, I do want to put an emphasis that, hey, we need to be gathered together with other believers. So there's five things, again, boy, I have them stuck in your craw and thought about here as we walk through into a new year. I'm not going to make them resolutions. I'm going to make them patterns for my life. And I encourage you to do the same. Watch and examine them. And it's easy to lose one or two of them and get them lost in time in our busy schedules. But don't let that happen. Turn with me now to 1 John. Let's quickly cover our text for today. It says in 1 John, remember again in verse 3, it said that the reason he's writing is so that we could have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, he said. John here in writing, the things which he had seen, writing to us as believers, says, hey, I want you to have fellowship with God like I got fellowship with God. And now he's going to go on a campaign. I'd call it a tirade, but he's so organized in his writing that it's not that. He's going on a campaign to teach my little children how important it is to have fellowship and to look at the things that break fellowship. And so his first steps that he gives here in this fellowship, let me stop and say that being in fellowship with God is more than two fellows in the same ship, if you've heard that explanation of what fellowship is. Fellowship, by definition, I think I left my other outline home, was already preached that. Fellowship, by definition, by Noah Webster, he says that we are one with somebody else and on an equal plane with somebody else. Let me say it again. When we have fellowship, we are one with somebody else, and we are on an equal plane with somebody else. Now you let that sink in real good. In fact, let me help you sink that in a little bit here. Turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. It's where we find the Lord's Prayer, as I said before. And John 17, look what he prayed to the Father. John chapter 17, you've got nail. John chapter 17, look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus praying. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 21, John 17, 21. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Boy, you meditate on that for a little while and understand that you are one with Christ as much as he is one with God. And that's what he asked for there, and God granted him that. And we have a oneness with God. Boy, that'll make you walk different. That'll make you talk different. That'll make you read your Bible different. To understand the fellowship we have with God. And listen, we're in the last days. People don't get saved like they used to in 1950, and we don't see tremendous conversions and people that just are on fire for the Lord right after they're saved. And so we don't have all the motivations that I've had as a youth pastor and see lives change every week. We don't have all the motivations maybe and seeing God doing great things in a deplorable society that we live in. But listen, we can still have fellowship with God, and it can be sweet. Sometimes I feel like what's that verse about the unfruitful servant? That I'm just an unfruitful servant. I don't seem to be serving and getting things done that I want done. Again, the fellowship we're going to have with the Father is still sweet. I'm old and stricken in years now, and I just can't do the things I used to do. I can't even keep up with the house we're trying to put together. There's just things I can't keep up with anymore. Hitting 72 here and walking with my cane around and saying, Lord, I can't do all the things I used to do, but I know I can have fellowship with you. And our fellowship needs to be sweet. I've often told Grandma that I know you can't come out and do a lot of the things that are going on at church, but you can be our prayer warrior. And she was that. And all of us can be that to again understand that, hey, when things are getting worse and worse in this society we live in, praise the Lord, you can still have sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be one with him, even in your Bible study, your prayer time, and having a sweet fellowship with him. And we ought to do that because we can be one with him. And so there it is, back there in 1 John again, where we're at. Notice again that our fellowship is his emphasis. Then again, in the middle of this one, he talked about being in the light. I like a verse that's, I think it was in Thessalonians, maybe it was Corinthians, that said, ye were sometimes darkness. And I always thought that when I was unsaved, I was in darkness. But I wasn't. I was darkness. A person who is unsaved is in darkness, certainly, but more so than that, they are darkness. Until we get that new nature put inside of us that would make us light, we are darkness. When we get the new nature put inside of us, now we are light. We're a new creature, and we're light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. And so just as much as we're one with God, who is the light, we are to be lights in this world, and our light should shine a little brighter in a vile, evil world that we live in. And so here, notice again, he has that emphasis that we ought to walk in the light, verse 7, walk in the light as he is in the light. And then in the close of this, in the opening of chapter 2, he deals with the fact that we ought not have sin. Sin will break your fellowship with God. David prayed this prayer, and he said, Lord, cleanse me. I think it's Psalm 19, in fact. Cleanse me from secret faults. But if we have a fault that God has already convicted us about, and we said, yeah, I know that's wrong. I'm going to hang on to it anyway. Listen, you just broke fellowship. That's a broken fellowship with God. We've got a disobedient condition in our life where we said, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's brazen sin. That's purpose. We're doing it on purpose. And that's a broken fellowship. And look what he says here in the opening of this. Look at chapter 2. My little children. Boy, watch for that phrase. He breaks each of these little sections outlined that he has into that little phrase, my little children. So here's the first one. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Boy, it's good to have an advocate. But again, notice the emphasis here is on the fact that, hey, don't try to pretend that you don't sin. Our mind is bent towards sin. We're saved, praise the Lord, from the penalty of sin when we got saved. We're no longer under condemnation. We're saved from the power of sin, that it doesn't have to have power over us. And the truth shall make you free, and it'll make you free indeed. And so we have power over that sin. But also understand that we can forsake that power, as it were, and live in sin. And when we do that, again, we've broken our fellowship with the Father. Now listen, when you break fellowship with the Father, it's a lot easier to break fellowship with other Christians. In fact, it's to your benefit to break fellowship with other Christians, because they convict you. Being around someone who loves the Lord with all their heart will convict us when we don't. Being around someone who's just rejoicing in the Lord will bring us under conviction when we don't have that rejoicing, because there's a sin in our lives and we're holding on to it and won't let go. And so here's just an emphasis in chapter 2 about how to keep that fellowship, and that fellowship's going to bring you joy, that your joy may be full, and so that we can live in joy is by, again, we got to keep that sin out of our lives. And if we're walking in the light, then we have the ability to keep that sin out of our lives if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, having a clean slate to start our new year. Yea, every Sunday to have a clean slate that would start our week, and to be careful and to pray David's prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart, and show me if there's any sin in my life. Because I don't want it. I want to have a sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with my God, and be one with him, that my joy may be filled. And so he goes on for some verses here. Everybody, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, is the second thing. Again, his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are given to us so that we can keep them. And what was his first commandment that he gave to Christians again? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so now he's going to go on another little expose on how we ought to have the love of God in our life and love for other believers, and to praise the Lord for that. So all these are given in 1 John so that our joy might be full and so that we could have fellowship with the Father. I encourage you in one sitting to sit down and read five chapters of 1 John sometime this week. And I'm going to be walking through them again as best I'm able in the next couple weeks, that we could again just examine what was given by the great and aged Apostle John. I still picture him sitting at his desk with a quill, writing on a parchment, and he's 90 years old, a tottering old man who's been thrown in oil and burned. And again, he comes off the Isle of Patmos and again writes to the seven churches. And as he does that again, he's written this precious, precious epistle, 1 John, and he's written it to my little children. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its charge and its challenge, and thank you for what we've looked at here in that regard. Lord, we want that fellowship that John describes. We want, again, to be in sweet, united fellowship with you. So I'd ask, Father, even just now, if there's something that's hindering that fellowship in our lives this morning, that you'd rattle around enough to wake us up and cause, again, Father, that we confess our sins. Father, that we know again then that you promised that we could be cleansed and be as little children in your presence, only being further one with your Son and one with you. And truly, our fellowship is with you. We'll praise you again. Thank you for teaching us some things. Father, pray that you'd be with every purpose we've taken in our heart for 2024. And help us, Father, especially with these five things, but more so, Father, in maintaining a fellowship with you, even as we walk this new day into a new week. May we have sweet union and fellowship. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and let's dismiss with, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that of love. I think it's in the book someplace, but let's see if we can remember most of the words. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Praise the Lord. Now listen, last time I preached here, I let you out right on noon and we were the first ones out the door. I think Lonnie may have bumped us out of the way and got out the door before us. But, so in 2024, don't look for that to happen again and again.